even busting my butt through the weekend. By the time I get home, it's not an after Saturday. Between the dogs, my mama's calls, is it against the law for me to get what I need? A good friend and a pledge of mine, someone to say it's gonna be alright. A good friend and a pledge of mine, a little pick me up to get me through the night.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I am Lisa Tarvis, and we are talking with Daria Ann, of course, again today. Hi, Daria.
Hey, Lisa. Hi, everyone.
So, so Daria and I have been talking about the show, and we decided that we get so we get off topic easily. Not that we have a topic usually planned, which is kind of fun, but. You know, we're going to try and structure it a little bit better. So because the show is called Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, we decided that we would take a week, every week, and we'd have one of those topics, maybe in order, maybe not. I mean, we'll have to see, I guess, what's going on, because it's still kind of about what, you know, what's going on in the news, what's going on in our lives. You know, there's just a lot, there's a lot to really put into it, to think about. But, we'll start today with love. And there's a lot of different types of love. And I think that that's kind of what she and I were talking about before we came on the air, that we, you know, that there are a lot of different types of love and there are lots of different things that we're going to be able to cover. And so, anyway, we're going to talk about love today. That's basically what I'm trying to get to. But before we do that, I just want everybody to know that we are Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss is one of the shows on the Rightstream Radio Network. And the Rightstream Radio Network is a network that Daria Ann founded. It's been a little over a year now. Last month, I think, was the year anniversary.
Yep.
And started the network with her show, Rightstream Tuesday, and then I came on with Just Believe on spirituality on Then you got John D. Gresham to have Military Monday on Mondays, and then we added Family Power Hour after that. And every week we talk about the next one, but you know what? I don't think we're going to talk about it anymore because I think we're jinxing ourselves for the next show. So
we won't go there.
Yeah, we won't go there, but there's another show we're working on. So anyway, you can find out all about Rightstream Radio Network by going to rightstreamradio.com. That's Rightstream, W-R-I-T-E, stream, S-T-R-E-A-M, radio.com. And you can learn about all our shows that we have and all of the hosts and co-hosts and people that are involved with the Rightstream Radio Network. So I want to just throw that in there before we get on our tangents. Actually, we've got good stuff to talk about. I mean, love is never a bad thing. Well, I guess it can sometimes not feel good, but most of the time it's a great thing. And today I think we both have great topics to talk about when it comes to love. And I know that, Daria, you have you had a birthday just a couple weeks ago, and I know you were talking about you had lunch with your friend, belated birthday lunch with a friend, and so why don't you tell everybody about that? Because that, I think, you know, your drive home, when you told me about it, your drive home seemed like it was one of those things where you're just like, wow, that was a really great, I'm really glad I did that, you know what I mean? And so why don't you tell everybody about that?
Sure. Well, my birthday was on March 14th, and I was able to go out and celebrate that night with my friend and client Shlomo and a few other friends. But this particular girlfriend, actually, this is funny, I didn't tell you this, but I had a belated birthday thing on March 30th with two other girlfriends, which ties into this. And then yesterday, my good friend Lori took me to lunch in Delray Beach, Florida, which is in Palm Beach County, just north of Boca Raton. It's a lovely area, downtown Delray. It won the All-America City in 1993 and in 2001, and it's just a nice, quaint little area with, like, just cute little stores and shops and cafes and everything along Atlantic Avenue, which is, like, the main road that goes in there. And, you know, so Lori lives up in Palm Beach Gardens, which is, like, northern Palm Beach County. For anybody not familiar with Florida, Palm Beach County is pretty big. And right now I'm living in Broward, and I'm near Fort Lauderdale, so it's, you know, and my friends are kind of all over the place, kind of funny. But anyway, we figured Delray would be a nice meeting place in the middle, and she and I used to hang out there a lot when I first met her. And so Lori also happens to be the woman whose book I wrote, Reflections on the Ring, and it was, you know, and that was also a pleasure to write for her. But, you know, my point this week is that, you know, we talk a lot about energy vampires, but after I had this lunch with her and we were just talking and it was just so easygoing and it was, you know, she's the kind of friend over the years that, you know, we don't always, it's not like we talk every day or even like every week and we've gone for long stretches of time just because we both get busy and she's got two girls and a husband and different things going on, but it's like we always pick right up where we left off. And I really, that's one of the things I appreciate so much about our friendship. And Lori and I have been through a lot together. I've kind of stood by her when some things went on in her life years ago. And she's one of my oldest friends in Florida. I mean, another thing I have to say is that every situation I've been in, work situation, even when that ended or, you know, I moved on to another job, I always seem to, like, the good that always seemed to come out of every employment situation I've ever had was that it led me to a good friend. In this case, years ago, back in 1996, I was working for the Arthritis Foundation, and I was doing marketing, and I was managing programs for them, too. They had opened up a satellite office in Boca, and Lori, at the time, was working for a company that manufactured scooters for people who were dealing with arthritis to help them get around, and they're very popular here, too, because, you know, the weather's good, and you can pretty much use them all the time, and they're awesome. I mean, they've given people a lot of freedom. And one day she just happened to call into the office because she was looking to market her company and wanted to sponsor one of our events. And, you know, from the second I met her, it's like we clicked. And so, you know, we were both single back then. And then years later she went on and, you know, and you have to read her book to find out how her marriage came about kind of unexpectedly. But, you know, we've always been friends. And I felt very honored a few years ago when she hired me to write her what is essentially a memoir that we kind of fictionalized a little bit. And I don't know, just she's just one of those friends where like I said, whenever we get together, even if it's been a while, it's like we pick right up where we left off. She's always been very supportive, and vice versa. I mean, and it's just very easy with us. I've never had an argument with her. It's just a very supportive, nice, sort of easygoing kind of friendship, and I just realized how much I appreciate having that kind of friendship in my life.
Right.
And I just want to add, like, the two girls I met a couple of weeks before on March 30th and went to lunch with for my another belated birthday thing, the same thing with them. So I realized, you know, that's Elaine and Nancy. So that's three friends that I have where it's just, the friendship is just so valuable. And there are two other girls, too, that I don't necessarily talk to every single day, but I know that they're there. And
right.
To me, that's just, you know, I'm just very appreciative of that.
Yeah, I have friends that I find, you know, it's so funny because you can go so many months without talking to, sometimes even a year, you know, or so, and you have a conversation, you're on the phone for an hour, maybe 2 hours or whatever, and all of a sudden, you're like picking up right where you left off. There's no, you know, you're doing a little bit of catch-up, but there's no, you know, there's no uncomfortableness or struggling for something to talk about. It's just really, I have a high school friend, actually, my friend Kim from high school, who, you know, we live 15 minutes from each other. We see each other, if we're lucky, once a year. You know, it's ridiculous. It's so silly that we don't see each other more often. And then, you know, we'll get together for lunch or something. But when one of us finally, you know, we're just busy. We both have things going on, and we just don't get that much time to sit down and talk. And it's so cool to have that kind of friendship where you it's something that, you know, if you call and you're like, I need you, I need help, even though you haven't talked to them in months, you know, they're there in a New York minute. You know what I mean? They're there.
Yeah.
And it's so, I don't know, I think that's nice to have. I mean, I think we have so many people, and you're right, we focus a lot on energy vampires and the people that are just kind of, you know, sucking the life out of us that we think about, do we really, you know, is there any value in this friendship at all, or am I just doing all the giving and they're doing all the taking? And then there are these other ones that we, you know, you just have to be so grateful for. You know, because they're so important and so simple, you know?
Yeah.
Simple, drama-free.
Exactly, yes. Like with Lori and with Elaine and Nancy also. I mean, I just can be myself and we can have a conversation and nobody offers unsolicited advice. I mean, they might. I mean, if we talk about different things. Even if we disagree on something, you know, I feel very comfortable with that. I don't have somebody... and I don't want to get negative, but unlike the energy vampires, where some of them it's like, well, it's my way or the highway, and
right.
They're always right about everything.
Right.
These women are just like, well, that's cool. You know, maybe I wouldn't do that, but tell me more about that. Or,
right.
You know, good luck with that. Or if you need, you know, it's just so different, and it's just something to be really thankful for.
Yeah, because it's judgment-free. You know what I mean? It's like those judgment-free, and I think that's what it really is. It comes down to. Is that, you know, we're not looking for somebody to judge us, and we're not looking for somebody to blow smoke up our butts either. You know, you don't have to sit there and say, oh, I agree with everything you're doing. You're you know, perfect, you know. Nobody wants that. Well, maybe that would be nice once in a while, but, you know, you know, that's not really what we're looking for. You know, you're just looking for somebody to say, all right, I mean, I get where you're coming from. I understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. You know, you're right. Like what you said, maybe I wouldn't do it, but that's okay. You know, it doesn't mean I love you any less or I care any less or that I don't want to be your friend, you know, just support, you know, that's nice.
Yeah, it's great. It really, really is. And so yeah, I wanted to make my love contribution this week to the joy of friendship, of real, genuine friendship. And, you know, and the other two women, Nancy and Elaine, I mean, I've been friends with them for over a decade as well. You know, one thing I want to say about Elaine, just real quick, too, Lisa, because this is, you know, the expression, well, we talk about this with books. Yes, you should people do literally judge books by their covers, but
yes.
Using that expression metaphorically, Elaine, when I first met her...
Oh, that's my dog, everyone. Sorry. I don't know what's going on, but he apparently feels like...
He needs to provide a little
background. Yes, he wants to obviously attack, and somebody probably just came in the door or something, and he's now barking and being stupid. So, anyway, go ahead.
Well, Elaine was one of those people that... yeah, she's beautiful on the outside. She's got this long, blonde hair, and she's got a great figure, and she's very shy until you get to know her, and I did not know that about her at first. And I admitted this to her, like, years later, you know, whatever, so, sometime later. I mean, we've been friends now for, like, 10 years. But,
right.
Somewhere along the line, I don't even remember exactly what happened, but the more I got to know her, the more I realized what a great person she is. And she's very spiritual, and she's very smart, I mean, very intelligent. She's a nurse, and anyway, now she works for a different company where she travels a lot, and she trains people on how to use this medical equipment that she represents for this company. But my point is that I totally misjudged her because she was shy, and she had this gorgeous outward appearance, and we are in South Florida, which is like the capital of, you know, superficiality.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and as I got to know her, I was like, oh, my God, she's such a great person. What a
right.
genuinely decent, nice, and funny, and smart, and all, you know, and all those things, and just really good company. And I remember, like, back then, I said, Elaine, I owe you an apology. You don't know this, but I completely misjudged you. And, of course, she understood. And we laugh about it now. My nickname for her is Bombshell, because, and she laughs. You know, she but she's such a great person, and I'm so blessed to have her in my life. And my friend Nancy as well. I mean, Nancy just had a baby who turned 6 months old, and, you know, she's just another bright light of friendship. And, again, she's so busy. I think I saw them on March 30th, and previously I saw them last year in June for Nancy's baby shower. So
really?
It's just we picked right up where we left off.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool, I think, with, you know, some of my best friends, the people that I care about and that, you know, care about me is that picking up where you left off thing. Because, you know what, we are all busy. We don't have, you know, it's not all about friends, and, you know, we have families, and we have children, and we have careers, and we have, you know, we all have so many different things going on. And no matter what, you know, it's not like I remember being a teenager and spending hours and hours on the phone with my friends. You know, you'd come home from school and just get on the phone, and you'd be on the phone all night. You know, and it's like, who has time for that? Now I'm like, a phone call? Please. I mean, well, you probably know, Daria. You call me, and most of the time I don't call you back. I'll text you. And if I do call you back, and it's usually my fault because I sit there, I'm just such a yip-yapper. I can't shut up. So I end up being on the phone for so long. So it's like, for me, a phone call, that's a big deal. I mean, make a phone call because I know I'm investing an hour of my life.
I totally understand that. You know, one of the things I've struggled with because, you know, I've been like you, I work from home, and I don't want to go all negative here, but, you know, I've had other friends, one in particular, that, like, if I didn't pick up the phone during the day, like when she was in between sales calls in the car driving to her next appointment, she'd be like ticked off because, well, you work from home, you can talk anytime you want. I'm like, yeah, I work from home, which means I have to be even more disciplined than I ever was.
Absolutely.
In the corporate world, and that
yep.
doesn't mean I'm going to spend all day on the phone.
I
you
get
know,
that.
Even 15 minutes if I am in the middle of something during my work day.
And people don't get that because, like, and especially when you have a creative, when you're writing, when you're a writer, or when you're, you have some sort of something that requires a lot of focus. When you're in the creative process of writing, the last thing, my phone's off. I don't even have it turned on, you know, because I don't want any distractions. I don't, you know, because you're just in this zone. And I think for a lot of jobs, even jobs that aren't as creative, when you're busy, when you're into what you're doing, you don't, you know, the distractions, you can't just, oh, okay, yeah, I work from home, but so what? And I think you're right. I think working from home makes you need to be so much more disciplined, because I've done both. I've worked from home, and I've worked for companies that allowed you to work from home, you know, and so, you know, so I could go into the office some days and work from home other days. And I was always, when I worked for another company, I worked too many hours. I was working all the time because I felt bad for the, you know, half hour I'd take off to change a diaper or something when my kids were little, you know. And so, you know, I was constantly, like, overcompensating. And plus they were a West Coast firm. So it was a West Coast company. So when I was, in the morning, I'd be working my normal stuff and nobody would even be up yet in California, you know? So,
yeah.
so then I'd be working till 9 o'clock at night, having conference calls and stuff like that really late at night. And, you know, so it was just like, I overdid it. Now, when I'm running my own company, I probably underdo it a little bit because I do it in spurts and I don't keep track of hours, weird hours, and I don't know. So it's a little bit more bizarre. But the point is, when you're in that zone, when you're doing what you're doing, when I'm seeing clients, I can't pick up the phone to talk to somebody. I'm in the middle of a session. They're paying me. You know,
exactly.
They're paying me to listen to them, and I can't, like, okay, hold on, my friend's calling. You know, I mean,
exactly.
People get frustrated with me because they get my voicemail so much. You know, and I'm like, I it's just the way it is. I listen to the voicemails. Sometimes it's a day later. You know, I know if anybody has anything urgent to say, they're going to text me. If it's really important and you need to talk to me, text me. Even call me. I mean, my husband does that to me. He does all the time, call me as soon as you can. He doesn't even bother trying to call because he knows my phone's either off or I'm, you know, or he knows I have clients or whatever. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's just, I think in this modern age, with all the little like extras we have, with texting and all of that, you know, there people just have to, they have to find the way that works with each person. You know, what works with me, what gets my attention is a text. If I get a text, I'm going to read it right away. It doesn't mean I'm going to respond right away. I don't know, you know, it depends on what I'm doing, but I'm going to read it right away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can completely relate to the West Coast thing because when I was in the corporate world, I worked for many years for Washington Mutual Bank in marketing in South Florida, and it was based in Seattle. They don't exist anymore. But it was like, you know, my work day was like half done, halfway over by the time my boss and my other coworkers
exactly.
there, like, got in the door.
Yep.
And, yeah. Totally understand.
Yeah, that was really bizarre for me. And it's, but you're used to, you know, like I was used to getting up every morning and getting my kids off to daycare and going to the office. So it was my routine. And when you have babies, guess what? They're waking up at the same time. They don't care if you're working from home or not, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They're getting up when they're getting up. And it was like, you know, so your routine stays the same when your kids are little. Now that my kids are grown, it's different. I don't have that necessary routine thing I've got to follow. You know, I have one kid still in high school. She's 15. She gets herself up, but I always, you know, make sure that if my husband's home, one of us wake up and make sure she got up. You know, just to double check every day. But for the most part, you know, I don't really have that routine I have to follow anymore. Thank God. I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know. So I go back and forth on sometimes I think, you know what, I should just go and do like real stuff again in an office and, you know, and get back into having that routine. But then I think about, you know, I don't know. People would love to have the ability to, with the flexibility that you and I both have in our lives, you know? And then when we have it, we kind of take it for granted a little bit, which, you know, comes back to the same thing that can happen with friendships too, you know, is you can end up taking them for granted and not really appreciating them. And I think it's so important. I talk a lot about gratitude, and I think it's so important, like no matter what you're going through and how crazy things get. And, you know, and I write a little bit about this in my book, but not, I don't focus necessarily on the word gratitude as much as I should have, but just to be grateful, just to think, and no matter how negative things get, no matter how bad things get, you have so many positive things. I don't care who you are. You can find positive things in your life. And if you can't, then, you know, there's something really, really wrong. Somehow you're really off track and you need to reevaluate and make changes. But for the most part, I mean, who can't find something about their lives to really appreciate?
Yeah, I agree with that. But speaking of babies and gratitude,
yes.
I want to hear about your love contribution. For
yes,
week.
Yes, my love contribution is that I became a great aunt. So I'm going to be an auntie now because that's what I decided I want to be called. My brother's daughter had her first baby, so she had him on Tuesday, C-section, and his name is Stephen Lewis. And he's just, I'm going to see him actually after we're done with the show today. I'm going to the hospital to visit. She's so funny because I kept thinking, and I love my niece, don't get me wrong, but I kept thinking, wow, she's going to have a really hard time adjusting to motherhood because it's hard. It really is hard becoming a mom. There's a lot, you know, your selfishness gone. You know, overnight, literally, like, you know, in a few minutes time, it goes from being all about you to being all about this baby, you know, this child. So, so I was really worried because she was just always somebody who, you know, she was just spoiled. We just, it's all of our faults. We spoiled the heck out of my niece. She was the first grandchild for my parents, and, you know, so she really spoiled, she was really spoiled, and on me too, I spoiled her as well. So I'm thinking, how is she going to handle this, you know? And she, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. She is so in love with this baby, It's so sweet. I'm like texting with her and everything from, you know, from the hospital, and she's just like, she's like, I can't, and she's posting all over Facebook, you know, how in love she is with this little boy. And I can't wait to meet him in person. I'm going to be doing that, like I said, today. And I'm just in shopping route now. I'm in a shopping mood. You know, I'm like going, I'm like, I got to buy this. I got to buy that. I got to buy this. My husband's like, maybe you should pace yourself a little bit, you know? And we're like in Gym Marie last night, and I'm picking out outfits. And I'm like, I love this. I want this. I want this, you know. And it's harder for boys. I'm sorry, but I think boy clothes are very hard to buy. I had a boy and a girl. You know, as babies, my stepdaughter is my youngest, but I know her till she was four, so I didn't go through all the baby stuff like that I'm going, you know, that I went through with my kids with her. But you know, I had my boy and my girl, and they were 10 and a half months apart. Yeah, that is possible, trust me, anyone listening. Yeah, it can really happen. Anyway, so we were, you know, so I remember just going and being like, God, girl clothes are so much more fun to shop for, and there's so many pretty things. They're really doing much better with boy clothes in the last 20 years, let me tell you. I was in there last night, and oh my gosh, there were so many cute things. They're still the volume wise and, you know, cutesy wise, they're really cute. It's just that I don't know, girls are just easier for some reason with clothing. I don't know what it is, but, so I bought some outfits, and then I'm like, okay, the second he's old enough to know, hey, Auntie Lisa got him this, I am going to start with the toys, so that I get, you know, lots of kudos from him. He'll always remember his Auntie Lisa bought him this.
Very cute.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really happy for Amanda and her husband Josh. I'm very happy for them. They are handling parenthood, you know, so far. Now, they haven't left the hospital yet, of course, but they are doing a fantastic job and really embracing parenthood, and I'm really proud of them, because it's not easy. It's a drastic change to your life, and you don't realize just how much, you know, when she told me the C-section was scheduled last week, I'm like, get some friggin' sleep, because trust me, you're going to need it, you know. And we were dinner, and she's like, why does everybody keep saying that to me? And I'm like, because trust me, you just enjoy the ability to sleep right now. Because you go from sleeping like 8 hours a day to, if you get three, or, I mean, I remember if I would get 3 hours in a row, I was like a new person. You know, it was like unbelievable, because I'm kind of back to that. It's kind of come full circle, because now I'm like, you know, I can't get 3 hours in a row anymore. So, but I think that's old age. I don't know. But we have, like, you know, I'm really excited for them, and I can't wait till they bring the baby home, and I can't wait to, you know, watch him grow up. I mean, you know, it's just like, and my dad's a great grandpa, you know, and it's like, so, it's so cool. And then my brother's a grandfather, so now I can make fun of him, you know, because he's older, he's 4 years older than me anyway, but he makes fun of me all the time and says, you know, talks about how old I am. And I'm like, you're 4 years older than me. Why are you making fun of me? But he's a grandpa, and he's just hysterical. He's so proud. He's really proud. And I was talking to my dad, and I didn't think my dad was going to be that excited about it, because my dad's a little, since my mom died, like, if my mom was still alive, they would have been here. They would have been staying at my house right now. My mom would have been living at the hospital practically with this baby. And, you know, my dad, he's just like, Oh, really? When's the baby due? Oh, I thought it was due last month. What do you mean she hasn't had it yet? And I'm like, wow, way to pay attention there, Dad. But he was, when I called him and said, you did hear from Greg, right? And he's like, yeah, but my cell phone stinks, so send me the pictures on, you know, through email. So I'm downloading all the pictures from my phone and sending them to him on email. And he's so excited, you know, and I was just like, it's so funny because sometimes it doesn't really hit you until the baby is there. You know,
yeah.
right there, like, wow, this is a continuation of our family. This is a new phase for my dad, you know, I mean, being a great grandfather. You know, I wish my mom were here. She would have just loved this. She would have absolutely just been, like, absolutely in love with this baby, too. But, you know, I'm sure she is from where she is. She's probably holding that baby all the time. That baby will probably recognize pictures of her.
Yep. I'm sure.
You know, right away. So there's that. But, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about, and this is really kind of depressing, but, you know, every morning I've been looking for the last month. I've been waking up and I've been checking on that Malaysia jet. One of the reasons I think is because my husband's an airline pilot and flies jets. And so I was, you know, so it's obviously anytime something like this happens with an airline, with a crash, I get very, you know, it bothers me because I, you know, my husband does that. You know, it's just like I was married to a cop with my first marriage. Anytime you heard of a cop shooting or something happening, I mean, it got your attention. You know, you just were like needing to know all the details. But this has been obviously a big deal because they can't find this airplane. And because there are so many unknowns about why the heck it was where it was and, you know, and all the craziness around it. You know, yesterday I was talking to my husband, and I'm like, you know, all these, I keep watching CNN or reading articles on CNN or watching different news clips, and the loved ones of these people that have still, for all this time, for this last month, I mean, it's been over 4 weeks, I believe, are still holding out hope that somehow that plane landed somewhere on an island and that everybody's still alive. And, wow, I mean, when you think about that, from your perspective, Daria, like, would you be holding out hope still after 4 weeks?
I don't know if I can really say, this whole situation is so bizarre to me. I don't really trust the news at all.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Very skeptical people.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's something very off about this whole incident.
Right.
It just doesn't, something just doesn't click with me about it. I will say, considering the unique circumstances of this particular situation, they haven't found anything. I guess the temptation would be, since in the absence of hardcore evidence, I think it's human probably to still be holding out hope until somebody finds remnants of something.
Yeah.
I keep
comparing it to, I don't know, you know, if you ever watched the series Lost, but I keep thinking, you know, that series, I think that's what's in everybody's mind is, you know, this airplane crashes and these people are on this remote island that's not even on the map, I guess, and they're there and they have to kind of build lives. And I mean, Lost got a little crazy with, you know, some weird stuff that was going on, but you know, I think that probably I would be hoping that too. You know, I don't know how you don't hold out some sort of hope unless there's some evidence. I don't know. I just feel so bad for all of these people because, you know, it's got to be really hard. I mean, these are children. There are husbands and wives and sisters and brothers. And, I mean, it's got to be so tragic. And the unknown, it's just like when you lose a child through kidnapping or when somebody just disappears, mm-hmm. your sister or your, you know, something just disappears from the planet. You don't know what happened. The unknown has to be the worst.
Yeah, exactly. You know, to use an overused term, there's no closure.
Right.
There's no.
Right.
Okay, we have evidence it crashed in the ocean because we found the black box, or we found the tail, or we found something. Now, and one thing I do know, I think somebody posted on Facebook about how large the Indian Ocean is.
Yeah, it's really deep too. It's a really deep ocean. I mean, not that all oceans aren't deep, but this is like really a very, very deep ocean.
Yeah, and so, you know, I don't like to think about it much myself either. You know, I'm one of those people. I'm a nervous flyer as it is, but I remember when Scott last year when I met you, he said we were having dinner, and he's like, "No, don't be." You know, and I know that you know there's the rational part of me that knows it's a safe way to travel.
Yeah.
And then when something out of the ordinary like this happens, you know, it dredges up all those stupid fears again. But you know, I just think the sheer size of that ocean. I mean, yeah, I mean it could very well be that. You know, what's that expression? What is Occam's razor? Is it like the simplest answer is usually the right one?
Right, so exactly.
I think the chances are pretty high that somehow it crashed. And we don't know why. I mean, but there are some odd things. Like all of a sudden the plane turned direction, changed direction.
Yes,
all
I mean,
of a sudden,
completely,
like,
completely
they turned
around.
The transponders off. Only a pilot could do that. We don't
right.
know if it's hijacked. I mean, I think of 9/11. I
yeah.
mean, there's all kinds of scenarios. That
yeah, and I think that's what's freaking everybody out, a lot of it. I mean, for those of us that don't have loved ones that were on that plane, I think there were, 239 or 200, I don't know, some number like that, that people on that plane. And, you know, and I kind of just feel like, you know, you're right about the news, especially when you're dealing with so many. I mean, we're dealing with Malaysia, right? We're dealing with Australia because they're, you know, that's where they're. We're dealing with the U.S. We're dealing with all these different different countries, and you just don't know what's lost in translation, literally. Not to mention, you know, what's really going on. I just want to know because for me, it, you know, the whole hijacking thing scares the crap out of me. You
yeah,
know,
you especially.
My husband was in the air on 9/11, and I didn't know him then. We met a few years after that. But you know, when he tells me the story, he was like one of the last airplanes to land in the country when they were forced to land. When they, you know, had said that everybody needed to land, you still had to have a place to go. So they had to turn around, and he was in San Francisco. They had to turn around and go back to San Francisco. So, and then he started flying internationally, and, you know, it's scary. It's a scary, scary thing because, you know, the first thing, if it's hijacked, the first people that are going, especially, like, with the 9/11 thing, they're going to kill the pilots, you know, and take over. If they know how to fly the airplane, they're going to kill the pilots, you know. So it's kind of scary, and I really want them to find that black box because that – they can't shut that off. That's the one thing that is going to, they're going to know exactly every word that was said in that cockpit once they find that black box, you know, and then we'll have the answers, you know, whether it was a hijacking. My husband very much is, you know, leaning towards the idea that, you know, well, he was, I don't know if he's still on that track, but he was thinking that, it had to have been one of the pilots. You know, that did it. It was the only thing that made sense. It's a two-man flight team because it's, you know, they weren't going that many hours. They weren't flying that many hours. So the only two people, the captain and the co-pilot. So the two of them are flying. You know, one of them has to go to the bathroom. They step out of the cockpit. The other one can lock them out. And, you know, that's that, you know.
That's true, too. The other thing that's odd, too, though, there were two passengers on board with stolen passports.
Yeah, I think they cleared both of them.
That said maybe some mischief went on.
Yeah, I remember reading that, and that was my first thing. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, they blew up the plane, something like that. You know, I was just, when I heard about the stolen passports, but I'm pretty sure they cleared both those guys.
Oh, they did? Okay, see, I haven't really been following.
Yeah, I've been following a little bit, but I think they cleared both of those guys and found out that the passports had been gone for quite some time. You know, I said when the whole thing happened, I was like, you know, how would you even know? I mean, unless you're like a regular traveler like my husband is or somebody who does a lot of international travel for work or for pleasure or whatever, how would you even notice necessarily that your passport was missing? You know, I mean, really, it's not something that you're going to, that you
That's true.
Pay attention
to. Yeah, it's probably something you keep in a safe,
yeah,
safe place in your house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you pull it out when you're going to fly internationally, which isn't probably for most people that often.
Very often. No, exactly. That is a really good point.
Yeah, so I thought the stolen passport thing, the lost passport thing, stolen, whatever. I mean, I think that can happen. I don't know. This is one of those things where I'd love to get, like, my husband on and John you know, John Gresham.
Yeah.
And like have a conversation just about this Malaysia thing, because, you know, my husband has unique insight into it, obviously, from, you know, he's been before he could ever fly an airplane, all he did was watch them, you know, and then he went to Embry-Riddle in Florida, in Daytona, to school, you know, to learn to actually got his degree in aeronautical science. And so, I mean, he knows all there is to know, really, about these planes, and he has his own theories. And then I'd love to hear what John's, you know, feelings are based on his background.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be an interesting conversation, I think, to have. But hopefully we're going to know real soon what's going on, since they did find some pinging recently, as of, I believe it was a couple days ago, they started getting pinging and from the black box. And that's amazing, honestly, because the black box, they said, you know, the battery would maybe last a month. And it's been over a month already, and they're still picking up pinging from what I understand. So that's good. So they've got to be close. They've got to be close. I hope.
Yeah. I hope so, too, because I think, you know, it's hard to start the grieving process,
right,
for most people if you don't have hardcore evidence that somebody did, in fact, pass on through, you know, God forbid this plane crash.
Right.
You know, I think in the end, as hard as it's going to be, people will at least be able to move on, you know, move through the stages anyway, and at least know what happened.
Yeah, I think that's so critical, because, you know, I think when you lose someone, you automatically go to what were their last moments like? Were they afraid? You know what I mean? Like, just all these different things that you kind of need to know in order to, you know, be able to process what happened to them and be able to start healing. I those are the kinds of things that I think about, and I really hope that they get some answers. You know, obviously there's no way that they could have got that off course and flown for that long without some sort of evidence. You know, they had to have known that, you know, when they were flying for 4 hours longer than they were supposed to, or whatever it ends up being, that there was something, you know, something was obviously wrong. I don't know. I mean, there's so many things involved in it, and I don't know. My heart goes out to everybody that, you know, that had anything to do with, you know, has anybody on there or on that flight, or knows of anybody that was on it. I mean, it wasn't a flight that took off out of the U.S., but there were some people from the U.S. on it, and there were an awful lot of people from other countries on it, so I really feel for all of them.
Yeah, and Lisa, if I could move this in a new direction, not just with this flight, but with any time that there's like an unsolved crime or murder, because let me move this into the metaphysical realm, if you don't mind, because a question just popped into my head.
Okay.
And I know that just in general, doesn't necessarily, not necessarily with this plane crash, but have you known of other psychics who were successful in, say, helping the police solve a crime or
It happens all the time. However, the problem is that very few police departments or agencies will take the time that it takes for, because, you know, as a psychic, you're basically going to be picking up on the energy, you know, I can't like sit there with the Casey Anthony thing, and don't ask me why, I was just thinking about this last night, but that poor little baby girl that was murdered, and so horrifically, I couldn't like call that child in, like, you know, spiritually, and try and get answers from it, because that there's no connection between me and this child. I'm not saying that people can't, and I'm not saying that I didn't have my, I mean, I certainly know in my mind what happened, and it's, whether it's psychic or whether it's just, you know, whether it's just my, you know, my feelings on it, but intuitively I kind of feel like I know what happened with that situation, You can definitely, especially if it's something that touches you, especially if you go and if you go to the place, like another one of the ones I follow closely was the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Ramsey.
Yeah, and I had some. I was, and you know, I, every once in a while, there's one comes up that I just get addicted to. I have to, like, I'm like, I need to know what the heck happened here. And I feel like if I went to Colorado, like if I was in that house or if I was in that area, I'd be able to pick up more. The energy that you feel when you're in the area where it happened, where the emotion took place, I mean, that energy stays there. So you could definitely, if you're sensitive, you could definitely pick up on things like that, on what exactly happened. And that's something, you know, I wish that the police, the problem is that there are so many people out there that think they're psychic that aren't, you know, or that think they know something. And really it's coming from a place where, well, I, you know, feel as if, or I, you know, I, or, and, you know, they're using logic to figure it out instead of any kind of intuitiveness, you know, and so they don't really know. But I always said that I thought it would be like my dream job would be able to, if I had the abilities, strong enough abilities to be able to figure out what happened to missing children. You know, that would be like, what a beautiful gift that is, you know, to be able to help bring closure to those families, you know, that are wondering where their child, and when it's an innocent child, it's so hard, you know.
Oh, God, I can't even imagine that.
I can't. It just it blows my mind to think about one having to wonder what is going on, like what happened. Is he alive? She alive? Living someplace? Did somebody kidnap them? Is he being abused? Is he being taken care of? Is he dead? You know, I mean that kind of thing. And that's when I think so many people end up calling in psychics. And then you, unfortunately, if you don't get, you've got to get somebody with some kind of reputation, you know, a good reputation. You don't go to the Yellow Pages looking for a psychic. You know, you don't go to the place with the flashing sign.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, if you want to do that for fun, that's great, you know, and I'm not saying you won't get anything out of it, because you probably would, but I think for the most part, you know, the people that are really, truly, truly gifted, you hear about them word of mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
Yeah,
don't.
absolutely. Yeah, I know. I do know from my own experience as a customer. Yes, that is absolutely true.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something where you're going to, you know, look in the phone book or, you know, whatever under psychics, and you know, you're gonna find the truly gifted ones. It takes so much energy to do a reading that you know, to actually get this information. That you're not going to, you know, they're not somebody who wants appointment after appointment. You know, they just can't handle, you know, that kind of thing. If they're too, it's too emotionally, and you know, it's too emotionally and you're too emotionally exhausting. I mean, it really is. It takes a lot out of you to do medium work, and like to do healing work. For me, I always get energized from doing healing work, and a lot of times doing psychic readings, I get energized. But when it comes to medium work, when it comes to getting, you know, deceased people to come through, that takes a lot of energy. And I mean, if I do that once a day, I'm going to be exhausted by the end of the week. So imagine doing that, you know, 10 times a day or 20 times a day. I mean, no way. There's no way.
Now, Lisa, can you explain for anybody who's listening that's curious? So when you and I understand just from what you said about medium work, but literally, like, what happens when you do that kind of work? Does the spirit of that person come into your body? I mean, how does that work for you? I know it's probably different for.
Yeah, it's different for everyone. Everybody has different experiences, depending on their level of ability, I think. But for me, I can feel like a shift in the energy. And a lot of times I'll get lightheaded, and not always, but a lot of times I'll get lightheaded or dizzy kind of feeling, and I'll have like you know, I'll have like all of a sudden thoughts, and there's me thinking, and then there's this these other thoughts that are coming into my head, and I'm like, these are not my thoughts, And it takes a couple minutes. Usually when somebody comes into my office, once in a while, and it's different for every situation, because like for me, I pick up much easier on spirits that have been gone a long time. I much faster than if it's a recently crossed over spirit. I think it is different for everybody, but for me it all comes in thoughts. And if I close my eyes, I'll get pictures, especially of like, you know, people that died, you know, maybe they took their own lives or died in an accident or something like that. And they'll show me. I'm lucky I don't get the gruesomeness. I know there are psychics that get gruesome details. And for me, I set my own boundaries. I've talked to my spirit guides and angels and said, you know what, I can only handle this or, you know, this and that. I can't, please keep, you know, like negative. I don't want any negative entities anywhere near me. Thank you very much. I am good. I don't need that at all around me. And I've been very blessed, very, very blessed. But I also protect the crap out of myself too. You know, I don't open the door to this sort of thing, without protecting myself. So, you know, I think it's different for everybody, and I think that, I think that there are a lot of really gifted people out there, but there are also people that, I don't know if they want, I don't know. I have the craziest stuff happen. I have people come into my office, and they'll be like, oh, I saw this psychic, and she told me I need balanced, but, you know, some kind of chakra balancing. Because there's this negative energy attached to me, and it'll cost me $4,700 to buy.
What?
Yes, to buy the products that I need in order to get rid of this negative energy and to completely, you know, and to change my life around. And I'm sitting there, my mouth still drops, and this happens to me probably twice a month. Somebody comes in and tells me some bizarre story like this. And I just sit there, my jaw still drops. I'm just like, are you kidding me? There are still people out there that are doing this, you know, and there are still people out there that are paying for this. You know, if you need a chakra balancing, guess what? Use Reiki. I do it, $80. You know what I mean? It's like, that's it, $80, hour session, and your chakras are balanced. I mean, you know, anybody who starts telling you that you've got to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars or have hundreds of sessions or sign up for some long-term thing, most likely they're scamming you. I mean, they just...
Yeah, exactly.
And
run.
Yes, run. And I feel so bad that this is still going on, because it gives everybody who's legitimate a really bad reputation.
Yeah.
It makes the rest of us look bad because of these people that are doing this. So I know I didn't really, I went off on another thing here, and, you know, about your question, but, you know, I really think that there are, everybody receives the energy differently. For me, like I said, I'll get pictures when I close my eyes, and I'll get, mostly it's not voices, it's just thoughts. It's thoughts. So somebody says, you know, most people that come in, they want answers. Why? You know, why did it happen? Why did they take their own life? I get a lot of suicides for some reason. People, you know, and I think that's when people really, they need answers. They, you know, if somebody dies of cancer, okay, is he okay or is she okay? You know, they want to know that. Of course, they're always okay. You know, once you cross over, you're always okay. All the pain stops, all the emotional stuff that you're dealing with, all the physical world stuff is gone. You're always okay. They're, you know, you don't have to pay anybody to know if they're okay. They are okay. You know, I can guarantee that. Everyone that crosses over is okay. They're fine. They're happier in spirit form than they ever could be in human form. But when you need more details, you know, when you want more information, then you've got to find a really qualified, well-respected psychic. And you're going to do that mostly through word of mouth. I'm not saying that they don't have a website and that they don't do advertising and that they don't. I'm just saying that you're not. That's the best way to find them. You're not going to find them in the yellow pages and driving down the road.
Yes.
You know, with the whole, you know, neon sign. Yeah, probably not your best way to pick somebody out. I don't have a neon sign. I work out of my house, and I get plenty of business, and most of it is through word of mouth, you know?
Yeah, well, and I never told you this before, but many years ago, before I bumped into this legitimate lady that solved my anxiety problem, I had been kind of the victim of a scam down here in South Florida. I ended up having to go to a police detective, and he said to me, oh, my God, this lady has such a reputation. I didn't know at the time. I was very naive in some ways, and she told me that, you know, one of our, this aunt through marriage, that we didn't talk to them anymore. I mean, they were always a problem, my mother's brother and his wife, but anyway, not to get into all of that, but she told me that this woman was so jealous of my family, which you already knew, but I'm just saying, this is what they hope, scammers, and yep. Unfortunately, this is an easy profession for frauds to exploit, but she told me that, you know, this woman had a spell on my family, and she even, like, I didn't even know how she did this. It's probably the oldest trick in the book, but I didn't know it. Like, she pulled out, and it looked like an egg with, like, a weird face on it. She was a gypsy. They were gypsies, and they happened to be Egyptian. And I'm not saying, this is not a slam against all, I'm just saying this is where they happened to be from, and they were living in the United States. And, I mean, this lady had me taking her to Target, and like, I mean, I was, like I said, she had me so, she was so believable about all this kind of stuff. I ended up getting all my money back, and I forget why I was, I had a choice. I could have pressed charges, or I could just get my, have them pay me back, or whatever. And the detective, for whatever reason, it was better for me to just get the money back, which he did. I got everything back in full.
Wow.
But my whole point in all of this is, I mean, and that kind of fed into my negativity about psychics until I met Francis Fox the following year, who was actually legitimate and solved my, finally rid me of panic and anxiety disorder. And, you know, but I don't know, maybe I had to have go through that learning experience, but it's a shame for, like you just said, I mean, like any other profession, you know, the bad apples give everyone else a bad name. And with something like this, when you have people who are distraught, they've been through a trauma, they've lost a loved one, somebody committed suicide, so they're already, like, you know, they've got all this emotion, and they're devastated, and then you have jerks like that who would exploit it. Really pisses me off.
Yeah, it does.
So yes, your advice is well taken.
Yeah, it really,
if they're flashing a neon sign, chances are they are illegitimate.
Right, and I you know, and the thing is, and it's not all of them, and that's a sad thing. It's just, it's frustrating to me because, you know, I hear these stories and these people come in and they're like, you know, and a lot of times they're coming in for a second opinion. Well, this lady told me that I need to spend, I'm like, are you kidding me? No, if they tell you you need to spend anything, you know, I mean, it's fine if you want to, you know, like I have crystals in my office and most of the time I give them away though. I'm like, here, take this crystal, you know, it'll help with the healing process, you know, whatever. It's not like I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. You know, they're coming in for a reading, they're paying for a reading, and that's it. You know, there's no, or they're calling, I'm not saying that sometimes I don't say that, you know, a lot of times I'll say, you know, you could really benefit from a chakra healing session because, you know, this, you still have this pain you're holding on to or whatever. But for the most part, you know, for the most part, I think that you can, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I never offer other services that I do, but never, ever, ever anything more than another session. You know what I mean? Never. I just that just blows my mind, and it makes me angry too. You know, being in this profession, it makes me angry.
Oh, absolutely, and I don't blame you. And you know, and I'm kind of embarking this weekend on, I may be possibly involved in this myself. And you know, and I was listening, Lisa, with interest when you were talking about how you protect yourself. And I'm sure they're going to cover that in class this weekend, because I'm like you, I don't want to see, like, first of all, I want to be protected from anything bad, from evil things or evil entities. But I don't want to see any of that, you know. I want to help people, and hopefully, Morgana, I'm sure it is covered in the class. We'll talk about how you shield yourself from all of that so that you're just getting the information you need to help the client without having to be subjected to stuff you just don't want to see.
Right, and you will.
I'm not out to be a vampire slayer.
She'll definitely cover that, because that's just basic stuff. You've got to know how to protect yourself, and you have to set your own boundaries. I mean, like I said, I think that I get so many people with children that have psychic abilities, and the kids are, I want to develop this, or some of them are afraid of it, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, one of the most important things to do is realize you have more power than you think here. You know, you have the ability to say, I'm going to allow this to, Yeah, but it's TV. It's TV. It's the movies. You know, everything's taken at what? Oh my gosh, this goes out of control. And every time you turn a corner, you're looking at a dead person. That's just not the reality of gifts. I mean, you know, I'm not in the refrigerator and turn around and, you know, turn around to close the refrigerator, turn around and there's a dead person standing there. I mean, my God, I'd put my stuff in a home somewhere. I wouldn't be able to deal. You know, there's no way you could deal with stuff like that. That's not the reality of most of the gifts that are out there. And you do learn to protect yourself. You learn to protect yourself with white light, golden light, purple light. You know, different. There are different. I use different levels of light for different situations. But you know, the honest truth is that, you know, you protect yourself beforehand. You ground yourself. You gotta learn grounding, you gotta learn protection, and you've gotta set boundaries. I mean, for me, the boundaries were set so young because I've always had this, you know, these abilities, and so I set boundaries a long time ago. There's, you know, a lot of times when you're younger, I found with me, when you're younger and you don't really recognize that you have this ability as a child or as a young teenager or preteen or whatever, and you have these abilities, I kind of feel like you're kind of in this place where, you know, I'll just say for me, I know I could have gone and become evil if I wanted to. I could have done bad things with my gift. I could have ignored my gift, or I could have done good things with my gift. I felt the presence of evil a few times when I was very young. And I was just like, no way. I want nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with it. You're not recruiting me. You're not, you know, there's nothing I want bad enough to turn away from God. Nothing. You know,
right. So
it was for me, even young, it was a very simple kind of, you know, decision to make. But, you know, I don't know if that happens to everybody, but I do think that you're a little vulnerable when you're born with a gift that, you know, that's as obvious as it is. You know, but that, you know, that said, I think, you know, for me, I decided right then and there, I don't want any demons, I don't want anything negative, none of that. and anytime that it's approached me, and you know, it's funny because I've only had in my office, you've been in my office, it's protected by crystals. I have crystals all around my office, and I keep it as a sacred space. It's sacred space. There's no negativity allowed. It's just a positive space. And the only time I've ever felt any kind of negativity trying to get in, or evil, if you want to call it that, trying to get in, was when I was with a very mentally ill woman, and she suffered from schizophrenia and was heavily, heavily, heavily medicated, hearing voices, lots of bad stuff, and she came to me and for help, and it was so sad, and I felt at that point something trying to get into my office that was not from God, and I was just like, out right now, you know, I mean, very strongly, very firmly, I'm not messing around, get out. And it did. I never tried to come back in during that session or since. So, you know, I think, you know, you just have to set your boundaries, and you have to be, I mean, honestly, you have to be a little bitchy about it, because, you know, I'm telling you, just because I know what you're about to embark on, you can't be nice and think being nice, you know, to this negative side that is there. I mean, there's no way, you know, if there's good, there's evil, yin and yang. I mean, it's just the way it is. When there's, you know, light, there's dark. I mean, you know, there's balance in the world. And so if there are beautiful angels that are helping us, there are negative demons that are trying to hurt us, you know?
I mean, yeah, you know, I remember another woman I used to know that, like you, was gifted from a young age. As an adult, she went to help somebody who had what did she call it, a full manifestation in their house of a demon. And she was very successful. I mean, she was telling me the story, and I remember listening to her going, oh my gosh. Like, and I said, well, how did you handle it? She's like, first of all, just like kind of like what you said, she said, if you're going to do it, I mean, she chose to do this. I mean, she knew what she was walking into, and this is one of her things. I mean, this is her choice to be able to help people with this. and God love her for doing that. But she said, one of the things she said to me that reminded me what you said about God was, she said, I had to walk in there with absolute certainty that God was with me, and that I just never once thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Like, you know, I just went in there with that absolute belief in the power of God over anything. And she was very successful. I mean, it left, and it never never bothered those people again.
But yeah. Well, that's
scary. I'm like, what do you mean a full manifestation? I'm like, and then I was like, don't even tell me. I don't even want to know.
Well, yeah. Usually, when somebody would use that term, it would usually be like that's because there are different levels of it. Like, there's residual energy that's left over from somebody who, like, if you every night at 7 o'clock, a man would sit down and, you know, would walk downstairs and sit in his kitchen and read the newspaper. And maybe he was murdered sitting there, you know, reading the paper or something 100 years ago. You might be able to pick up on that same experience of him walking down the steps into the kitchen, sitting down, because it just keeps replaying every night at the same time, because it's just something that happened over and over and over again. And that's kind of a simple way to explain that sort of thing. It's not really a haunting necessarily. The person's not necessarily there doing it over and over again. It's just their energy that's replaying it, because you know, it was a regular routine, a safe routine, and then something traumatic happened. Then there's a full manifestation. I would define that as an actual haunting, where there are you know, spirits that are actively participating in the people that are around in their lives, and most likely you're able to see them full body, see them. That's how I would define it.
Yeah, she called it like 3D, and I said to her, oh my gosh, I'm like, please don't even describe anymore because it's freaking me out. But she just said, you know, you go in there with absolute certainty and belief that you have the power of God and that you can overcome anything. And you don't give that entity or whatever an opportunity to, like, you can't drop your guard in terms of what you're thinking or feeling for, like, 1 second. I think I'm explaining it the way she explained it to me. So
no, that makes sense. I mean, that makes complete sense. You can't let your guard down. You can't, you know, you have to
like
save.
Don't give it an opening.
Right. Exactly. But you have the. I mean, most of these spirits and things are. I can't believe we're back to this topic, by the way. But anyway.
I know. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's. I think anytime, you're about to embark on something that's just so life-changing, and I'm so excited for you. I really am, because I think that this class is going to really really be a positive thing for you. There's so much positive out there, and I think that's kind of what I want to stress, is that there's so much beauty and amazingness out there that it has to do with you know, with these abilities and with the spirit world. I mean, it's an amazing thing to be able to know that your loved ones are safe and happy, and that they're still paying attention to what's going on, and they still love you, and they still, you know, want to be part of your life. That's great, and I love being able to pass on those messages. But like I said, there's a balance. There's a bad side to anything that there's a good side to. I mean, it's just the way the world works. And, you know, for this, I mean, for this kind of thing, we have to expect that there are going to be some negative entities out there. You know, I think that you have to just, anytime you're dealing with it, you have to go in with a prayer. You have to go in saying, you know, that I always say I'm a child of God. God, you know, I will never, ever stray from God, and evil is not allowed near me. It's not allowed. I will not allow it into my energy field. Plain and simple. I don't. There's no wavering. There's nothing you can offer me. I don't need $1 billion. I don't. You know. I don't need. You know. I don't need to be the perfect weight and have like eternal life. I don't need. There's nothing anybody could offer me. You know, that would make me do that, up to and including the, like, sometimes they, you know, these things attract to you, if you're powerful, they attract to you when you're at your lowest. So, you know, you're about to lose someone that you really, really love, and all of a sudden they've got some kind of offer. Oh, turn to the dark side. And I'm making fun of it, but, I mean, basically this is the kind of experiences that happen. Turn to the dark side and we'll make this person okay. You know what? You can't trust any of that. You can't trust any of it. And you just don't, you know, I mean, they're evil. Evil lies. Evil tells lies. Evil, you know, you don't want to go down that road.
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, Lisa, something you said reminded me, you know, Unity has a really great prayer for protection, and it talks about how the light of God surrounds me, the love of God enfolds me, the power of God protects me, the presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. So I think,
yeah, that's a prayer. That's a very popular prayer. It's a very well-known prayer. A lot of psychics use that prayer. There's a prayer. Oh, you know who uses that? One of those ghost hunting shows. They use that.
Really?
They use that prayer. Yeah, they use that prayer. I've heard them use it on that, and it's a really good prayer. And it's a prayer I use. I use that prayer a lot when I'm going to go someplace like that might be possibly haunted, you know, or something like that. I'll always say that prayer beforehand. It's definitely one of my faves.
Yeah, me too. I say it every day. It's cool. So
yeah,
but I'm excited. I mean, that Saturday and Sunday is the class, and I know we keep talking about this, but you know, it's just on my mind, and I'm psyched about it. And I just had some questions that are, you know, today that came up when we were talking about the plane crash, and for some reason that just popped into my head about, you know, psychics who helped, you know, police solve unsolved mysteries. And
you're right in that zone right now, so that's what you're thinking about. But like for me, like I brought that whole plane thing up because I'm like, you know, I mean, what, you know, that's the kind of, there's a kind of tragic kind of love that these people are experiencing, not knowing if they're ever going to see their loved ones again, and they're holding out hope for almost something like a Gilligan's Island or Lost, like I said, where, you know, there's this crash but everybody, you know, or most everybody lives. I don't feel like that's going to be the case in this situation. Yeah, I'm almost, yeah, that, right. I don't think that's what happened here. I'm a little afraid to find out exactly what happened, and because of the fact that I'm a little sensitive to the subject because of, you know, obviously what Scott does, I don't want to, you know, make any bold statements about it, but I don't think anything good went down there. I think it was a bad, you know, it was just a bad situation, and you know, I'm a little. I just feel so horrible for the people that don't know. I mean, I just that's got to be horrible. At least if you know what happened, you can come to terms with it. You know, no matter how bad it is, you can come to terms with it. But the not knowing has to be horrible. Mm-hmm. It just does.
Yeah. Yep, and I guess I should stop watching Air Crash Investigation. I end up, about a year or two ago, I got into watching that on YouTube.
Oh, God.
And you know what it is? It's not to be morbid. I mean, and then I get on planes when I have to, and I'm fine, and I do it, and I talk to somebody, or I read a book, and I get through it. I don't like it, but I get through it. But what fascinates me, and I know we're running out of time, and I'm rambling, but maybe we can talk about this another time, but I'm totally fascinated by the investigation and how, in most cases, like 99% of these, they're able to figure out what happened and then make improvements with something with the plane, which I think is kind of cool. I mean, that's like, not that I'm happy that a plane crashes, but, and there's a lot of them where people survive. I mean, it just depends on the circumstances and what goes wrong, but I'm just totally amazed. I mean, I'm fascinated by how they're able to come up with the answers most of the time. And piece things together, because I like that. I'm very like that part. The whole investigative process just fascinates me.
Yeah, I think you know you sit there and you look at it and you're like, you need answers. You can't just have something open ended like this and not know what happens. I mean, this will drive me crazy if they don't find out what happened. It really will. I won't literally go crazy, but it will eat at me forever because I need to know. I need to know. I just do. And
well, it's personal in a way for you because of your husband and what he does for a living.
Right.
So.
Right. and that may be it. You know, I don't know, but it is a little bit of a weird thing, and I'm just hoping that they get answers for all those people, and you know, because you figure 200 and however many people were on that airplane, and how many more people, you know, there are thousands of people whose lives are being affected because of it. You know, with relatives and things of that sort. So, you know, it's very very scary, very very scary thought, and a very kind of I don't know. I just hope for the best for everyone, and I hope that however it turns out, everybody heals and gets through it. You know, I mean, they will. They don't have any choice really, but I just you know, you just pray for everybody's quick healing and acceptance and getting through the process of grieving as easily as possible.
Yeah.
Well, so next week I guess we're going to talk about liberty. What are we going to talk about on liberty?
Well, I have some thoughts on, actually the restaurant that Lori and I went to was really kind of interesting and had delicious food, and I might want to actually tie that in with, you know, to me, liberty is also about good health, you know, travel,
absolutely,
career, finance.
Yep.
And I know there's been a lot of misperception about low-carb diets, what they are and are not, Dr. Atkins, what it is and is not. And I think I'd like to take the opportunity as somebody who's benefited tremendously from that to talk about my experience with it and to maybe clear up some of those misperceptions and explain.
Yeah.
So that might be a fun topic for me.
That's a good idea. I think it's really important with dieting, we can do that with lip gloss too, really, when we're talking that too. We can talk about dieting and all that, all the different aspects of it. But everybody's body chemistry is different, and different things work well for different people. My husband can lose a ton of weight on a low-carb diet. Me, nothing. I can't. Well, and the problem is I don't think I eat enough because I'm not a big meat person. I'll eat meat. I'm not vegetarian, but I'm not a big fan of meat. Like, you know, I make lasagna. I make it with meat for my husband, but I'll pick most of the meat out of mine. I'm just not a big fan of it, you know.
Yeah, protein also includes fish, chicken. So
right.
You can do the Atkins diet without ever eating red meat.
Yeah, but I'm not even chicken. Like, not really. I don't really like fish. I mean, I like lobster and shrimp and things like that, crustaceans. But I don't really, you know, I'm not a big fan. So for me, it's hard. I was eating a lot of eggs, and then I just kept thinking, wow, my cholesterol is going to go through the roof. So I was having, like, you know, for me,
that's another misperception about eggs, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, exactly, because that's exactly right, because they're
actually really, really good for you.
They are very good for you, and they are very high in protein, and in my opinion, it's what they're mixed with that makes it good or bad for you. You know, like, you know, eggs are used in so many different things, and depending on, you know, what you're eating with it makes a big difference. But I was just never successful with that. For me, it's portion control. I mean, I'm all about portion control. You know, having to measure, you know, make sure I'm only having 4 ounces of this, or, you know what I mean, 6 ounces or whatever it is. And to really, my thing is sugar. I've got to eliminate sugar. If I have sugar, I'm going to always have weight problems. You know, but I also have thyroid disease. I have Hashimoto's. So when you look at your actual physical health too, and the way your body uses calories, you know, that's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference in what works for me versus what works for you. And I do think there are ways to make a protein a high protein diet work. I mean, carbs are bad. Carbs turn to sugar. So sugar is what makes me heavy. I mean, if I have too much sugar in my diet, I'm gaining weight, no doubt. And not to mention, it's bad for you in 100 different ways. But we can save all that because there's so much we can talk about. I mean, just the aspects of sugar alone, and I am a sugar freak. I love sugar. And I have learned that, acknowledging the fact that carbs turn into sugar in your body, it's so sad. It made me so sad because I'm like, I'm not having candy. Why can't I have this loaf of bread? You know, well, you can't, because that's just the way it works.
And vegetables are also carbs, though, because, you know, when, I know it's too late to get into all that, but yes, it's important for people, and that's one thing I want to talk about, that good carbohydrates include vegetables, especially green vegetables, not all of them,
but most of them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, most of I think that, I mean, I've done a lot of different diets, and the one I had the most success with was HCG, and it gets, that's very controversial as well, because it's a 500-calorie-a-day diet, and kind of, you're intaking 500 calories a day, but you're actually, your body thinks you're using 3,000 calories a day. It's a really cool thing. I lost 45 pounds on that diet, and I gotta tell you, I felt amazing. And I don't think I was ever so healthy. I felt so good at the, you know, things I was eating, lean meats, green vegetables, you know, no carrots. I wasn't allowed to have carrots and stuff like that. But green vegetables, most green vegetables I was allowed to have. And, you know, so that worked for me. And again, I think it's because I was controlling my portions, and there was absolutely no oil, no sugar, none of that was allowed, you know, nothing. So, you know, that really worked for me. But, you know, I could have some Melba toast. You know, or some, you know what I mean? So there were some carbs in there too. So I don't know. It's just, like I said, I think it's different for everyone, but it's a great topic for a couple of the other things besides love, you know, Liberty and lip gloss that we can talk about. And literally, for lip gloss, I really want to get into some skincare stuff. I mean, you and I are both in our, let's just go with mid-40s. And you know, actually, I think we're the same age right now, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm the same age as you.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna next month, or no, not next month. In June, I go up another year. So yay me. Anyway, but we can talk about, I mean, or how our skin changes and the different ways that, you know, we deal with our skin. I was luckily blessed with really good skin, and just genetically.
And you too.
And you know, we, neither one of us. You wouldn't know that either one of us. I don't think, looking at us, are the age that we are. You know what I mean? And I don't know why I'm not saying. I always am very, very big on just like, hey, this is how old I am. But I don't know. I don't want to talk about it right now. Probably because my birthday's, you know, a month and a half away. I don't know. But, you know, so I think that those are some great things, because your skin as a teenager is very different than your skin in your 40s. So I think there's a lot of things we're going to be able to cover on on these other topics as well. But we've been on, we're pretty much, we got to wrap it up now. So we're going to, anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to add, Daria?
No, I just want to thank everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I look forward to next week and filling everybody in on my weekend and talking about Liberty.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear how your weekend goes. I'm really excited for you. And I'm going to be interested. Make sure you talk to me before next Friday and let me know what happened with that.
You can count on it. I'll text you so you know it's important.
Yeah. There you go. See? That's how you get my attention. Send me a text. Absolutely. I will, we'll talk about that during the week, and then we'll get some great topics together for the Liberty thing. And Liberty's going to be fun, I think, to talk about, because we're going to have a lot of different, we can go a lot of places with Liberty, you know, a lot of different places, metaphorically and for real. I mean, we really can. We can take that anywhere. So we'll talk about that. Everyone, thank you again so much for listening. You can find out more about me by going to lisatarvis.com, LISATARVES.com, and you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and all of LinkedIn, and all those social media sites. Daria, your website?
It's DariaDiGiovanni.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Daria Ann, and on Facebook, Daria Ann Author. That's Ann with an E.
Right. Okay. Yes. DariaAnne. For Daria Ann, and everything under me is under Lisa Tarvis, so I'm easy to find, you're easy to find, we're both very easy to find. Make sure everyone, when you get a chance, stop by and check out the RightStream Radio Network's website, which is rightstreamradio.com, and follow us on Twitter at RightStream, and on Facebook at RightStream, what are we, at RightStream, or are we at RightStream Radio on Twitter?
Our Twitter is at RightStream, WRITE stream, and then, you know, we use the hashtag RightStream as well,
right,
when we're just posting stuff.
And for Love Liberty and Lip Gloss, by the way, everyone, for Love Liberty and Lip Gloss, we use the hashtag LLL. So if you want to follow what's going on when we're posting stuff about Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, follow LLL, because I put some of my articles that I tweet under Just Believe through at Lisa Tarvis. I do have a lot of them that I post on with hashtag LLL, because they're related to what we're talking about here with women's issues and things like that. So anyway, everybody can check us out on all those different sites, and definitely follow us. We have lots of interesting things to say sometimes. Sometimes. Anyway, everybody, thanks again for listening. It's been a really great conversation. Thanks, Daria. It was fun talking. And everybody, we will see you next Friday. You can catch me on Just Believe Radio on Sunday at 7 p.m. and Daria on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Through our website on Blog Talk Radio, which is blogtalkradio.com/rightstream. Everyone, have a fantastic week ahead, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.